Good morning. Today's scripture reading is taken from the book of Amos, chapter 7, verses 10 to 17. Amos, chapter 7, verse 10. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go, flee away to the land of Judah, and eat bread there, and prophesy there. But never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, Go, prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. The Lord's messenger today is Pastor Stephen.
Good morning. If you've been following in the series of sermons in the minor prophet book of Amos, you'll realize that today's passage is a very different kind of literature. From the beginning of the prophecy of Amos, we've been listening to the words of the Lord spoken through the prophet, with little snippets of the response of the people. And in the passage that was preached last Sunday, we also read of the response of the prophet pleading for mercy on behalf of the people. In today's passage, we see an interaction between two men. They are Amaziah, who's the priest of Bethel, and Amos, who's the prophet after whom the book is named. There are actually two main points in today's message. And the first is a warning. The first is a warning not to reject the word of God. For this is what we see the people of Israel doing. They were rejecting the message of God. They were refusing the messenger of God and receiving the judgment of God. But there's a second main point in this passage, which is based on what Amos does and says. And from this passage, we can learn what happened to Amos, and from that, we can learn what can happen to us as we sometimes try to share the gospel with others. And the outcome of the sharing is not much different from the negative response that Amos received. For this is what could happen to us as well when we share the gospel with others, that people could accuse us wrongly. People may try to intimidate us, but we certainly must not back down. So as we look at this passage together, we ask that the Lord may speak to every heart gathered here this morning. Let us pray. Father, indeed, it is a joy and a privilege for us to be in your house this morning. And what a joy it is to turn to your word and to hear your spirit speak to us through your inspired word. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So my sermon in one sentence is that we may be wrongly accused and intimidated to stop sharing the gospel, but we must refuse to back down. So let's go through the passage and see these three main points of the passage and then see how it applies in our lives. Three main points, the outline in your bulletin being that Amos has conspired, Amos should flee, and Amos has spoken. So the first main point is that Amos has conspired. We read, then the Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words, for thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. So what happened here is that Amaziah charges Amos with conspiracy, and later Amaziah reported that the land is not able to bear all of the words of Amos. Let's look at each of these points. Amos has conspired. Amaziah charges Amos with conspiracy. The word conspiracy means an evil, unlawful, treacherous, or surreptitious, that means done in secret, a plan, a plot. This means that Amos was accused of plotting the downfall of Jeroboam the king and the destruction of the temple at Bethel. Well, how did Amaziah arrive at this conclusion? First, he quoted what Amos had said, that Jeroboam shall die by the sword and Israel must go into exile away from the land. Did he say that? Yes, he did. Secondly, when we look further into the context, we realize that this interaction between Amaziah and Amos arose probably because of the prophecy that had just preceded when Amos had said that the high places of Isaac shall be made desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste, and I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Amos 7:9. The words of prophecy had begun to cut uncomfortably close. Amos is touched on the high places of Isaac, of which Amaziah was probably in charge, and yet touched on the house of Jeroboam. And Amaziah saw the opportunity to draw the king into the fray and to weigh in with his royal authority. You see, in times of national difficulty, the leaders often want to hear only the positive comments that will encourage the people to continue to trust the leadership. Anything negative tends to rile the leadership and to upset them. So Amos was charged with conspiracy. Secondly, Amaziah said that the land is not able to bear all his words. You know, this statement can be taken positively to mean that Amos was effective in his communication, so that not only did the people take note of his words, but the words of Amos are beginning to weigh on the hearts of the people, and they were being convicted by what Amos had said. This is a positive thing, that the words of God should weigh on our hearts and make us take note and make us take appropriate action. Of course, Amaziah took it negatively, to mean that the words of Amos were having a negative effect on the people. It was robbing them of their trust in the leadership of the leaders in the nation. People who had given up hope, of little use when it comes to fighting the enemy or working together against all odds in a national disaster. We see here what's happening. The implication is, you know, so what? If that's the what, the so what? We see here that Amaziah has rejected the message of God. And because he rejected the message of God, he begins to accuse Amos the prophet of conspiracy against the king and against the nation. You know, as we study the passage carefully, we see that the reported speech of Amos by Amaziah was correct. Amos couldn't say, I didn't say that. He did. He did say those words. Amos had indeed said those words. But those words were not spoken to rob the people of their trust in the leadership, neither to sap their strength should they be required to fight against a foreign enemy. Amos was not saying, well, give up and surrender to the enemy. That would be conspiracy and sedition. Instead, what Amos was doing was to speak the words of God. That the words of God had a negative tone. It was because God wanted his people to turn away from their sin and to turn to the living God, to seek God, the source of living water, which alone could quench their spiritual thirst. But that message was rejected. So we ask ourselves, well, how does that apply in our lives and situation? And I think the point here is that we too may be wrongly accused. From what Amos did, we can learn the lesson that when others wrongly accuse us wrongly, thinking that we are being overly negative, we must understand what we are doing and why we are doing it. For you see, the good news of salvation in Jesus that we want to bring to our unsaved relatives and friends can only sound good after people have heard the bad news of judgment. Without the bad news of judgment, people will not realize the grave danger that they are in should they suddenly die and have to stand in judgment before a holy and righteous God for all the things that they have done. In fact, without an understanding of the justice of God and of the wrath of God against all forms of sin, people will not appreciate the need for forgiveness. They certainly do not see their need to believe in Jesus. And hence the likely response, if you have ever tried to share the gospel with a fellow Singaporean, the typical Singaporean will say something like this: it is okay. I do not need Jesus. I'm a Singaporean lah. I have a good job. I have a happy family. My life is not perfect, but it is more than what I can ask for. Go share your gospel with the foreign workers or with the people living in the slums. Kind of typical response. I don't need it. So we need to start by sharing the bad news with people so that people will see the need for the good news of salvation. Unfortunately, when we share the bad news, people will wrongly accuse us of being overly negative, and they stumble over the bad news and they get offended and they do not want to listen further. So when we are charged with conspiracy or being a bringer of bad news, what should we do? Well, let's see what Amos did. He refused to back down. He did not give up. So Amos was charged with conspiracy against the king, against the nation, and we may be accused of bringing only bad news, which nobody wants to listen to, but let us not give up. The second main point from this passage is that Amos should flee. Verses 12 and 13, we read that Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, meaning O prophet, go, flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and is the temple of the kingdom. So what Amaziah said to Amos is that he should, first of all, flee to the land of Judah, eat bread there. Thirdly, prophesy there. And fourthly, never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is the temple of the kingdom. Let's look at each of these points. First of all, he said, flee to the land of Judah. Why Judah? Well, from Amos 1:1, we read the words of Amos, who was among the shepherds of Tekoa, which he saw concerning Israel in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel, 2 years before the earthquake. Tekoa was in the southern kingdom of Judah. That's why Amaziah said to Amos, go back to Judah. In other words, go home. Go home to where you belong. Flee to the land of Judah. Secondly, Amaziah said to Amos, eat your bread there. The implication could be that as a prophet, he earned his keep. Prophesying in the days of Amos was probably looked upon as a profession. And in a similar way, pastors today are sometimes treated as paid staff, rather than as people called by the Lord to serve in a special capacity to serve the people of God. Perhaps Amaziah was suggesting to Amos that he might find it easier to earn his keep by ministering to the people who are more familiar and who are more likely to be friendly towards him, and his ministry to his own countrymen would be better accepted. That's what he was suggesting. Go and prophesy and eat your bread there. Thirdly, he said you should prophesy there. Is it true that one would be more effective in terms of ministry if one were to minister to his own kind? True or not? Well, there are two opposing views here. First of all, no, not true. For Jesus said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. Luke chapter 4, verse 24. The opposing view, yes, it is true. And I base that on my own experience. We have been living and serving many years in the U.S. when the Lord laid it upon our hearts to return to Singapore to minister here, because I felt I could be a lot more effective preaching the gospel to people among whom I had grown up, whose lingo I could understand, and whose heartbeat I could feel. Well, where's the deciding factor? I think it is the will and the calling of God. We will be most effective when we are in the will of God and answering the call of God. But definitely, even among countrymen, there will be challenges. And that one we all know, especially those who have tried to serve God. Fourthly, Amaziah said to Amos, and never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, it is a temple of the kingdom. Amaziah was placing a prohibition on Amos to ever speak the words of God again there. Amaziah was using his priestly authority to do so, and he sought to add weight to the prohibition with two additional reasons, the king's sanctuary and the temple of the kingdom. But you know, the irony of the prohibition is that of all the people who needed to hear the word of God, surely it would be the king. It would be the other political leaders whose decisions would affect the lives of all the people under their control. Leaders of all people must make wise decisions guided by the wisdom of God. And who else would be more receptive to the word of God than those who are already religious or spiritually alive? People who come to seek God in the temple are presumably most willing to bring their lives into conformity with the words and the will of God. Certainly, they must hear the words of God. But you know, such a prohibition makes us think of a later incident involving the young church, the nascent church, in its infancy, which faced a similar prohibition. At that time, it was the apostles who had been told by the Jewish leaders never again to preach in the name of Jesus. Well, did the apostles pack up their bags and leave the country? No. Instead, the apostles They did not. Instead, we are told they prayed, "Lord, now look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus." Acts chapter 4. They stayed and preached in the name of Jesus with all boldness, and the church grew like wildfire. What's happening here? Well, Amaziah refused the messenger of God. What Amaziah was doing here was to suggest or to coerce Amos to flee away to home ground where he might have a more fruitful ministry. Amaziah not only rejected the message from God, he was refusing the messenger of God. And the grounds he gave to Amos for fleeing back to Judah were not unfounded. Yeah, certainly he could have been more fruitful there. But we must examine such thinking carefully, lest we end up disobeying God by running away. Amos was the messenger of God, and he could be assured that the Lord will take care of him and provide for him, even in the most difficult of circumstances. Amaziah was not saying, "Well, don't prophesy anymore." He was rather suggesting a change of location of ministry. "Try there. You might be more fruitful there," is his intention, if we could give it a modern twist. Ironically, the people most likely to listen to the words of God sometimes end up being the ones who seem least interested to hear what the Lord has to say. So what does that mean to us then? How does it apply in our lives? Well, from what Amos did, we can learn the lesson when others try to intimidate us, suggesting that we're in the wrong place, speaking to the wrong people. We must be careful not to uncritically accept and believe everything that they say. For when we seek to share the good news of salvation in Jesus, it's not just about being fruitful. Of course, we want to see more people come to know the Lord. It's also about being faithful. And the lack of visible fruit does not mean that we're in the wrong place and should give up talking to this person or this group of persons, and then move on to those who are more ready to receive the gospel. For who knows? Who knows that this person that you are talking to needs you to persevere for however long it takes for the seed of the gospel to germinate in their heart and to bear fruit, which could bring great glory to Jesus, mainly because this type of person so rarely comes to faith in Jesus. I know I'm speaking in circles, but actually I'm thinking of a very good friend in Malaysia, a pastor who today is still missing, and his ministry is to a group of people who very seldom come to faith in Jesus, and he has persevered in his ministry. He did not adopt the mindset, just because very few are coming, I will move on to a different race, a different group of people where I can have a more successful ministry. He did not think that way. He thought, if I don't share the gospel with them, who will? And so he stayed and he did. So don't be tempted by low-hanging fruits. Yes, they are much easier to pluck, but someone actually needs to reach out for the high, hidden fruits too. And if you are called to this difficult ministry, do resist the intimidation of those who criticize unfruitful servants of God and those who are only willing to give support to the so-called successful servants of God. When we are intimidated, threatened by those who want to cut off their support for our ministry, which is perceived to be unfruitful, what should we do? We can see what Amos did. He refused to back down. He did not give up. So Amos was intimidated to flee to more fertile ground where his ministry would be better appreciated. And we might be tempted to pick and choose where we will serve the Lord. Don't. Let the Lord send out laborers into his harvest as he will. The third main point about this passage is that Amos has spoken. It's chapter 7, verses 14 to 17, and the passage was read to us. And we'll look at it carefully in its parts. The words of Amos in this section contains the following portions, where he said, "I was not." He said, "But the Lord took me." And then he said, "Hear the word of the Lord." Let's look at each one of these sections. First of all, he said, "I was not." Then Amos said, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son. Very interesting. Son follows after father. But I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. You know, the Hebrew term used here of the herdsman could suggest that Amos was actually a wealthy owner of much flocks, possible. Whereas there's a possibility of this being so, the next phrase suggested that he was more likely a simple herdsman rather than an owner of herds. The second phrase says that he's a dresser of figs. So he pricked the figs in order to help them to ripen more quickly. So in all, Amos appears to have been a man of humble means. The point here is that he says, "I'm not a professional prophet. I'm not paid to do this job. But rather, he said, "The Lord took me." Whatever Amos might have been was not the main point. The main point was what he became because of the work of God in his life. For Amos said, "The Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" The Lord called him to be a prophet, to speak the words of God to the people of God. What a privilege it is to speak the words of God to the people of God. Like the later disciples of Jesus, Amos left his nets to follow the Lord. "The Lord took me," he said. We will see that again at the end of the sermon. Thirdly, hear the word of the Lord. This is probably the most difficult part of the text for this morning. For when we read these words, there's a certain level of alarm. These are very harsh words to speak to anyone. We sometimes wonder, are these words reflective of a God of grace? For Amos said, "You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel. Do not preach against the house of Isaac.' Therefore, thus says the Lord, your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up with a measuring line, and you yourself will die in an unclean land, and Israel will surely go into exile away from its land." Now, when we read these words bring to our mind the so-called imprecatory psalms. An example of which would be Psalm 139, 37 verse 9. "Blessed shall he be who takes your little ones and dashes them against the rocks." Wow. When I hear those words, I cringe. Who would take babies and crush them against the rocks and kill them in such a devastating way? I know that these psalms are seldom dealt with from our pulpits, as we would much rather talk about a God of grace rather than to talk about a God of wrath. As I've been emphasizing, a God of grace would not be appealing unless we understood that he is also a God of wrath. And the thing to note here is that these are not harsh, angry words from Amos to spite and frighten Amaziah. Amos was not angry at Amaziah. He said, oh, you watch out, huh? This is what I'm going to do to you. He was not doing that at all. Amos was not trying to make Amaziah regret having said those words. There was nothing personal between the two of them. Rather, these are expressions of the wrath of God against sin. This is how much God hates sin. They are very harsh indeed. And they are meant to shake us out of our lethargy. They are meant to shock us into repentance. The effect of hearing what's going to happen to me if I do not repent. The effect should be, wow, let me repent without delay. For who wants to bear the brunt of the wrath of God against sin in each one of our lives? As the writer of Hebrews puts it so well, he says it's a frightful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Spending eternity paying the penalty for sins that are not confessed and repented of. Who want to do that? Well, what does all this mean to us? What does this mean then? It means that Amaziah will receive the judgment of God. That when Amaziah accused Amos of conspiracy and intimidated him to flee back to his homeland, Amos responded by speaking the words of God. Amos was asserting his call to ministry. And indeed, he's not a professional prophet. He had a different line, a different occupation. But once he received the call, he could not resist but to speak the word of God. But Amaziah had not only rejected the message of God, he was refusing the messenger of God, and the prophet Amos was now telling him that he would suffer the righteous judgment of God for sin. Since he refused to repent of sin, he shall have to suffer for sins not dealt with. You see, Amos was a messenger of God. He was sure of his call from God. But he was also sure that there was nothing personal in his words spoken to Amaziah. For if they had been personal, they would have been so much less effective. Instead, they came from the Lord. And the Lord will take care of all those who sin against him. He will punish all sin. So how does this apply in our lives then? From what Amos did, we can learn the lesson that when others accuse us of sharing the gospel for the wrong reason or intimidate us, suggesting that we are in the wrong place, speaking to the wrong people, we must not back down. We will not give up if we are sure of our calling from God. For those whom God called, he will equip. He will appoint us to the place of service, and he will apportion the fruit according to his perfect will. We must not allow our feelings to come between us and those who need to hear the gospel. Rather, as the Lord Jesus taught us, he said, "Bless them who curse you, pray for those who abuse you." So we share the words of God with them, but not in an angry manner. We share in a serious tone, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance in Jesus. We share in love. For if we cannot love a person, neither can we share a gospel of love with that person. It all begins with a heart of love. Amos refused to back down. He did not give up. He knew that he was called by God and that he was speaking the words of God. May we have that same confidence today of being called and appointed by God to our present place of ministry. Amos spoke the words of God with a desire that those who hear will respond to God with a holy fear of God and with repentance towards God. But the Lord took me. Amos 7:9. The word took in Hebrew, the lakah, has a connotation of seizing, of laying hold of. And there's a very interesting series of usage of this word. I just pointed out to you, and you can read it off the slides and do a study. I won't exegete further, but it's a very interesting study. Because when God takes, something exciting happens. His creative power is at work. Perhaps the Lord, in His grace, this morning, is going to take different ones as well, with a desire to take them from where they are to where they need to be. So perhaps there are some of you who are here today that the Lord wants to take you. Perhaps there are some who have come, who have yet to come to faith in our Lord Jesus. The Lord wants to take you from rebellion to rejoicing. Perhaps you are now still rebelling against God. You do not feel your need for God. And you certainly are not going to repent of your sins. But perhaps God has been working in your heart. And He wants you to come to salvation in the Lord Jesus. He wants you to understand how your sin will destroy you and that only Jesus can save you. That was me before the age of 21. I was rebelling against God. I was running away from God. Then I came to know Jesus as my personal Savior. And today I'm rejoicing at all the wonderful blessings of God in my life. God wants to take you from rebelling to rejoicing, rejoicing in the love that He has for you. Perhaps there are some who have of you here who have already come to faith in the Lord Jesus, but the Lord wants to take you from acknowledging Him as Lord to believing in Jesus to acknowledging Him as Lord. The Lord wants to take you from hearing His word to sharing the word with others. Hearing the word of God is important. It is the start of all good things. For the Lord wants to speak to each one of our hearts, teaching us the things that we need to know in order that we may grow spiritually. But you know, the spiritual growth actually happens only when we obey God and put His word into practice. And sharing the word of God with others is a way for us to clarify what we really believe. It will force us to examine our lives against what we believe. Do we practice what we preach? You know, many here in Zion Bishan have been stepping out in their faith through the Christianity Explored. You've been inviting your friends to come and explore the faith, that's wonderful. Through the AGs, the action groups, you'll be inviting your colleagues and friends to come and study the Bible together, that's wonderful. Through missions involvement, you've gone on long-term trips and short-term trips, that's wonderful. And through sharing your faith informally with others, and as a result of which our church has been growing. Keep it up. But thirdly, perhaps there are some here who have believed in Jesus as Lord for the longest time. Praise God for your faithfulness. But the Lord wants to take you from faithfulness to fruitfulness. Faithfulness comes from being where God wants you to be, doing what He has shaped you and equipped you to do. So please, it does not mean you leave your secular job to enter full-time ministry. Amos did. And if God calls you, you should. You must. In fact, if you don't, you'll be miserable until you obey the Lord. But it does mean that whatever you're doing now, you will view your job as the place, the arena of your ministry. This is where you serve God and not your boss. So, whereas faithfulness comes from being where God wants you to be, doing what He has shaped you to do, fruitfulness comes from walking in the Spirit, being led by the Spirit of God, to hear the Word of God, to speak the word of God, to stay in the place of God's appointment, even in the midst of struggles and difficulties. And then seeing God confirm his word with signs and wonders, and the result will be many coming to faith among those with whom we share the word of God. So, where does the Lord want to take you this morning? Let us pray. Father, we thank you that as Amos professed that the Lord took him and he obeyed and followed the Lord, may each and every one of us hear you this morning and allow you to lead us by your Spirit to the place where we are not only faithful, but we are also fruitful. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.